Welcome to the Jesuit Schools Network Ignatian Inquiry Podcast. The JSN seeks to be a supportive resource to our member schools, and this podcast is designed to be just that, a carved out space to listen, learn, and engage with issues that matter to our collective work as Ignatian educators. We're eager to encourage a spirit of inquiry across the many layers of our work in Jesuit education. We envision our particular brand of Ignatian inquiry to be the art of inquiry as seen through our Ignatian lens, asking questions and exploring issues that matter in our schools through the frame of our shared Jesuit mission. Founded in 2019, INES, the Institute for Nurture, Enrichment, and Self-Empowerment, is a free educational and leadership enrichment program that prepares middle school-aged girls to succeed in top Catholic and independent high schools in New York City. This unique program of Loyola School is named in the spirit of Inez Pasquale, whose compassion and commitment to St. Ignatius of Loyola left a lasting legacy on his life. Young women who participate in the Inez program are devoted to making substantial gains in learning, leadership, and service to others. In alignment with the Ignatian spirit of Cura Personalis, Inez strives to enroll highly motivated and deeply committed girls from predominantly underserved backgrounds. The creation of the Inez program was born not only out of Loyola School's commitment to educating young women of diverse backgrounds, but also the school's commitment to increasing accessibility for young women in Jesuit education. Inspired by the REACH program at Regis High School, Loyola School felt that it was important to offer an alternative to young women. Since its inception, Inez students have earned over $2.1 million in scholarships and financial aid for their high school years. Jacques Joseph has worked at Loyola School in New York City for 18 years, 14 years as a chemistry teacher, and 4 as the dean of students. In 2019, Jacques founded the Inez program, which serves students from Nativity Model schools and other Catholic schools in the New York area. He holds a Master of Science in Education Leadership and is currently a doctoral candidate in Educational Policies at Fordham University. His dissertation research focuses on policies following the murder of George Floyd. Dr. Kristen Ross Cully, JSN's Director of Educational Inquiry, joins us for this conversation on such an important topic. Dr. Cully and Mr. Joseph, welcome to the podcast. How's everyone doing today?
I'm doing well. I want to thank everyone for inviting me. I feel very honored to be part of this conversation today.
Jacques, we've been so excited to have this conversation with you. I have been excited to get to connect again with my very favorite school on East 83rd Street in the Upper East Side of Manhattan. So why don't we start a little bit? Just tell us about Loyola School. What's special about your community to someone who might not be familiar with it?
I think what made me really fall in love with Loyola was the fact that it's a small community. So the small community means a stronger sense of community. The fact that we can know every single student, especially in my role of dean of students, I know every student, I know how they're feeling, I know if they're having good days or bad days. And I think also the fact that we are such a small school that we have the opportunity to innovate all the time. It's a traditional school, yes, but we can almost say at this point at Loyola, kind of a slogan is innovation is our tradition, right? It's a school that always strive and we always had the chance of having great leaders being supportive of teachers or other members of the faculty just wanting to start a project and say yes and then also support. I've been blessed to be able to help with the STEM program. I've been blessed, you know, for Inez, of course. And right now, there's another project into a leadership curriculum. So the continual striving for innovation is really what I think is interesting at Loyola. And I think it's great about Loyola. But also, I think as a small school in the East Province, being able to inspire a much larger school to innovate also. So I always believe in Loyola being a little lighthouse, you know, that inspires, the bigger school, the school with, you know, I wouldn't say bigger tradition, but, you know, the schools in the East Province, there was like maybe more influence. I mean, let's say like there's a school across a block away who has, you know, that forged, you know, great men who also will influence society. And you can think about, you know, a few other schools. And what I like about Loyola is that, you know, we can, in our little building in the Upper East Side, innovate and inspire those schools to say, well, that's a great idea. Maybe we should do something similar. And I think that's, you know, when we say at Loyola, we influence those who influence others, it's not only in terms of students. And I think it's also in terms of institutions. So I'm very proud to be part.
Sure. I mean, it really is such a wonderful community, such a special place. I like the focus on innovation. And this program that we're, you know, going to speak about today, it truly is. It's a remarkably important innovation and mission, you know, and I think it's unique, of course, in its focus on girls. I mean, talk about another thing I'm excited to talk about today is this whole idea of girls and Jesuit education and where do they fit and how do we make space for them and how do we create paths and access for them to come to our schools. And that's what Loyola School has done. You're really at the lead, at the frontiers of this. So tell us a little bit about the Inez program. Kristen just gave us kind of the, you know, introduction and the big picture, but tell us about Inez. How did it start? What is it? What does it look like?
Well, Inez is an enrichment and leadership program, and I think it's important to emphasize the leadership program. And why do I say that? Is because I always start the new year with the new cohort by saying that society needs female leadership, always needed female leadership in the history of the world, and there's many examples of that. As a community of faith, you can look even at Mary Magdalene, right? Being, you know, probably one of the first great female leaders who was courageous enough to stand by Jesus until the very end. I always joke with them saying that all the apostles didn't want to catch any smoke, as they say, and then they went into hiding. But who was with Jesus until the end? It was the three Marys, right? And yes, it's an enrichment program. We want to make sure that they get into good schools, that they get into great Catholic and independent school, but also we want them to be able to lead, because I keep saying to them, from the beginning of time until now, society always needed female leadership. So we want to make sure that we form them in our Jesuit values, which I think are very, very important for me.
Oh, and thinking about Loyola School as, you know, the only co-ed Jesuit school in the greater New York metropolitan area, right? If you are a young woman in or around New York City and you'd like a Jesuit education, Loyola School is the place where you would go. And there's wonderful other terrific Catholic institutions and all-girl institutions and schools, but Loyola is very special in that place when you think about who and what you are. So the creation of this program, particularly for girls, is, again, remarkable. How did it come to be? Like, why did it get started? Why did you start it?
We might need more than an hour for that, but I'm joking. For me to fully being able to explain this, I have to go back to my childhood. I was blessed to be raised with three wonderful sisters. I'm the youngest of the family. So the way they nurtured me, they protected me, always wanted the best for me. You know, I've spent my life just making sure that they're proud of me, right? So that's one thing. So I think I was, from a young age, really aware of the struggle of women in society, especially Black women in society, just by living through what my sister were going through as young women, as adults, and even now. So I think that's the first part of why Inez came to mind. I'm the father of two daughters also. So I don't think I would have had the idea or maybe the will to work on such a program if I wasn't raised with three sisters or if I wasn't the father of two daughters. You know, it made me really aware of what do I need to do to make sure that young women like my daughters have access to good education, but also being able to become great ethical leaders. And, you know, to be honest, the first idea of Inez came from you. You know, we had a conversation and we spoke about REACH program and all those programs in New York City that are Jesuit-based, based in our values, that serve young men. And you always lamented to the fact that, you know, you wish that one day there would be something similar to young women. And it always kind of stayed in the back of my mind, right, that conversation. And I promised myself that, you know, I would one day, if I can, you know, carry out Kristen Ross Cully's dreams. And And there was an opportunity for the next principal, Adam Lewis, at a summit called the Innovation Summit. And, you know, 1 week, a lot of teachers got together, members of the staff, and just bring out ideas and say, you know, what do we like Loyola to be? What do you like to, you know, and what type of innovative or creative endeavor you would like to bring to school? And I told Adam, I think it's time that we have something similar to the REACH program at Regis, but for girls. And Adam said, okay. And I must be very thankful for him because he really helped me at the beginning of the creation of this program. He really supported me. And I have to thank also Tony Roslani, the president. You know, Tony just said, yes, that's a great idea. Let's do it. So, you know, and he always wants to do what's best for the school. And I'm very grateful that he gave the green light for this program to happen. And also he's been very supportive the beginning until now. So.
It's such a story of the place. It kind of reminds me of, you know, the way that you started explaining what is special about Loyola, that it is such a small community, such a special community, because it's a place where you can have an idea or dream or imagine something that you hope you do, which is hard to do when you're a busy teacher or busy principal or dean of students, you know, whatever it might be. But it's a place that kind of encourages and inspires that. Like, I should think about what's coming next. What should we be doing? But then you really made that happen. And there's so many things along the way that had to happen. But at the end of the day, it's a program that encourages and supports girls at a really crucial time of their lives to find their ways to schools like ours. I just think it's a remarkable story in that way. So tell me, what does an average day look like for an Inez girl? So let's give us some of the logistics. If I'm an Inez student, what is it? What's it like?
Sure. So it's a two-year program with three summers. And they start the first summer, we call it foundation, where really we make sure that they are good with the basic ELA math. We add Latin to it. So Latin, ELA and math are three like core courses. And then we add science, research, skills. And so that's summer one. And it's really 8:30 to 4:30 p.m. So they have the core classes in the morning. They have lunch, the elective in the afternoon, and then they have, you know, some activity at the end of the day, and then they go home. So it's in the month of August. We have the full month of August. And then on Friday afternoon, we have something called enrichment instead. So don't be surprised if you hear those terms. It's like, that sounds like REACH. Yes, it does. The program is heavily inspired by REACH, and also from my time at Prep for Prep, which I think is the standard of enrichment program in New York City, but that's more for independent school. I would say that everyone at REACH and Regis have been, you know, extremely supportive, because not only they believe in the mission, but also now they can also say, when parents say, what about the girls? They can say, well, okay, yes, go a block away, and then you'll be able to have young women being able to access Jesuit education the same way that they can with the REACH program. So there are three summers like this, but in between the summers, they come every Tuesday and every Saturday in the school year. So from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Tuesdays, and on Saturdays from 8 a.m. in the morning until 3 p.m. So it's a lot for young 6th, 7th graders. It can be challenging, especially in the winter. You know, they leave at 6 o'clock and it's dark and you're like, oh, why am I doing this, right? And this is why I think for me, it's important to remind them the importance of them being there, and we need them to be there. And it's a big sacrifice for them.
Well, and it's such a commitment. And I mean, a commitment on your part and the part of the faculty that are there as well, right? It's not a light lift, the work that you're doing. How do the girls find their way to you? How do they know, especially in the early years of a program, right? The program has just been around for a few years. How do they know about it?
So we partnered with schools. We partnered with Jesuit Middle School in New York from the Nativity Miguel model. We thought that if we wanted to serve a few schools, because it's a small program, so we thought that the best way would be to partner with schools, and the schools would nominate. So we partnered, first of all, with St. Ignatius in the Bronx and Brooklyn Jesuit Prep in Brooklyn. Then we added Cornelia County Center in the Lower East Side. So there were the three main nativity schools that we partner. And it's only a few years ago that we started to start branching a little bit more and expand to be able to to serve a few more students. You know, the first cohort, there were only 8 students, and it was basically me, Jessica Holden here, and then a math teacher, and that was it, right? And sometimes I cannot believe how quickly the program expanded. Now every cohort is double that, so we're about like between 16 and 18 students per cohort, and we're proud of that.
No, I mean, you just started it. That's the thing. You piloted this, you know, and not just for Loyola School and for the schools in and around New York, but really for the network. You know, this is where we've mentioned a lot, the incredible REACH program out of Regis High School, you know, just across the street. But there's other terrific programs as well at Brophy and at Creighton, you know, more nested schools, St. Ignatius in Cleveland. I mean, there's schools all around the network who are kind of doing similar work with middle school kids. You are doing the first work of its kind with girls. And so I love hearing that. I love thinking about dreaming a bit about having an idea and then seeing it come to life. And you're going to look back someday, Jacques, probably when you're long gone, you know, and look back and see that these are the seeds of a very, very important program, I think, to Jesuit education, of course, not just to the life of the girls in the program, but to the message you're sending in committing the time and the resources to this. We don't talk enough about girls, I don't think.
No, and that is something that I think needs to change. And the Society of Jesus would not exist without Ines Pascual. So a woman was an integral part of the creation of, you know, a society that, you know, we live by its values 400 years later. So in the United States, there is a unique reason and there's a unique structure in terms of Jesuit education that does not give enough access to young women, enough educational access to young women. And Sajid Kabadi, who I love, he's the man at Regis Jesuit, wrote his dissertation on to why. So I invite everyone to read his work. He's just fantastic. But now that there's research on why we are the way we are, we need to commit. We really need to commit to change that. And I truly believe, and, you know, of course, I was inspired my life by, you know, my sisters and my daughters inspired me. You know, conversation with young female of color at Loyola also inspired me. You inspired me. So we have to be comfortable with being inspired by female leadership. And one great thing about your podcast is, you know, it's funny because when you invited me, I said, okay, I need to listen to the podcast. So, you know, on my runs, I listen to pretty much all of them right now. And I just like how you're also intentional into that. A lot of the guests, I mean, from what I remember, I've listened to more female guests than male guests in the podcast. But so I think there's seeds that's been planted within the network that we need to give more space to women. We need to give more space to female leadership. You know, one of my favorite podcasts was the female president and principal. But one of the main things I got from those podcasts is that they have to learn about the Jesuit values, about the Jesuit mission as adults, which I think is also part of your research, right? Part of Mauro Tum Estevez's research also. And all fantastic work. And how can we get them at a young age, middle school age, you know, instill those values so that they become the next president, the next principals of Jesuit schools? So,
right. And they won't have that learning curve of having to catch up a bit in their careers, you know?
Exactly. So they'll be well-versed from the beginning, and that'll make them even better leaders. So they'll be ready from the get-go. And that is a responsibility and a commitment that we as Jesuit institution need to do more. And I really, really believe.
No, and I love hearing that, Jacques. You know, there has been such conversation, I think, in recent years about women in leadership of our schools and, you know, different issues of gender and so on, that it's kind of been bubbling up just in the time since I was principal at Loyola. You know, it has changed. And I enjoy sharing awesome stories about great work being done around our schools that's innovative and unique and really contributing to, I think, the big picture of what we're trying to do as educators. And that's what the creation of this program for girls is, you know, at the end of the day. So I appreciate you sharing that. Give me a sense of, like, what are the girls like? So you're with them on Saturdays and nights and stuff. Like, what are they like? Describe them.
I mean, they're, I would say, typical middle school young women. They're brilliant and they are committed. And what I like about the girls that we serve, they understand why they're here. And they also understand that it's going to be difficult, but they understand that it is important for them and that it's a great opportunity. You know, when I was creating the program and we're putting things together, the curriculum, and, you know, there was a lot of challenge, you know, getting the approval of the partner schools. Some conversations were a bit difficult at first, trying to figure out schedule and all that. And at one point, I would say I was a bit discouraged. And I was asking God, you know, is there a sign you can show me that I'm doing the right thing? And we had just had our first meeting with parents, and one parent was absent. And the parent called me maybe 2 days later, and the lady apologized and say, I couldn't make it. I was sick. I've been sick and I really couldn't make it, but please do not reject my daughter. And that wasn't the point. She was already in the program. So I said, no, miss, no problem. Just come next week. We'll sit down and I'll explain the program, you know, and what you need to do and what your daughter needs to do. I did not understand what she meant by sick, because when she arrived, she could barely get up the stairs. She was in terminal phase of cancer. And she sat down with the daughter and said, please take care of my daughter. I know it's a great opportunity. If that's one last thing I can do for her, this is it. And the lady passed away, I think, 3 weeks later. So after that, no matter what obstacles, I had to commit and make sure that, you know, we can get, you know, more and more girls that opportunity. So they are, you know, they're typical young girls, you know, that, you know, they'll be on their phone, they'll be doing those TikTok dance and all that during the break. But there is something in them, and there is a drive and a willingness to achieve their goals that's inspiring, I would say.
No, that's a beautiful story you share. You know, we need to look for those signs, especially in the hard stuff. This, again, it's also a reminder that what you have done is not easy work, you know, and for those folks that are listening to us to remember that as well. I imagine a young woman, a young girl, you know, sixth grader walking up the stairs at Loyola, beautiful, beautiful building, wonderful in so many ways, but intimidating in so many ways too, to a young child. But walking in and thinking, gosh, I belong here. You know, I am capable of this. I am worthy of this education. This is where I fit and where I belong. That message to young women, young people, it just cannot be underestimated, the power of that. And so, you know, to think about, again, that a school, in addition to educating, you know, 9 to 12 and all the busy work of school life there at Loyola, that you've committed time and resources and energy to making that happen for young girls around the city, it just deserves to be shouted from the rooftop. I think it is a really special story. Tell us a little bit about what's the reaction been like as this, so it kind of started a little, you know, the seed of a dream, and then started, and you're growing it and growing it. More and more people know about it. Hopefully this podcast will shine a light in the broader world. But what's the reaction been in your community?
Within Loyola, I think it's great. I think teachers have been very supportive. They want to know what's going on. They want to know about the girls. They, you know, always eager to hear about their progress. There's also always the wish that, you know, we could do more, the wish that we could expand. You know, I feel like the program at this point will have to expand, you know, eventually. But what I want to make sure before we expand in terms of numbers, that, you know, we expand in terms of support. So right now, I think we're pretty good structurally in terms of, we take a student in the summer of their 6th to 7th grade, and then we get them into high school. Now we need to work on that. How can we still support them from high school to college? So that's the next phase of, you know, the grand scheme of the program. And I think teachers here at Loyola are understanding the community, and it's just been very, very supportive at Loyola. I think the first community outside of Loyola was very supportive is Regis, just with the REACH program. They've been great. You know, when we were about to do the construction project, and then we weren't sure if we were able to use our classroom, Regis was ready to offer, Fordham Prep was ready to offer. So I think within New York City, I think the Jesuit school have been very supportive, but also relieved that finally there's something that, you know, there's for girls. Because I think the REACH programs always kind of felt like, well, yeah, we have a program for young men. And then when the family said anything for young women, they never had an answer, but now they have an answer. So, you know, I've been extremely, extremely humbled by the reaction of the PACE office. Father Parks called this one of the best programs that was ever done. And, you know, Father Powell also very supportive of the program. He does the mass, the end of summer mass for the girls, which I am very grateful for. But I believe that we need to go beyond that. This is great, right? And I think at this point, I would like the schools to say, what can we do on our end, either to help the program called INES, or how can we, in our own ways, amplify opportunities for young women? I think that's where we are. I'm very grateful, humble. It's always humbling when you hear someone like Father Bob Reiser saying, your program inspired a whole gathering of right to education. And for me to be able to do a little part that will help raise awareness and raise action also in making sure that everyone can have access to Jesuit education in the country is extremely, extremely humbling. And I'm really humble. I am grateful. It motivates me to work even harder. But I would like eventually for a program like INES to inspire other schools and go beyond the, this is nice for the girls, right? Which is always great to hear, but I want to hear like, wow, I want to do something similar.
Well, I mean, that's the challenge to those listening today. What does come next? So here is this example of this program that has been built in this remarkable community. And, you know, if you think about it, Loyola School is co-ed. It made a choice many years ago to be the first to admit girls in its area. And Loyola School was the first of the Jesuit schools in the East, you know, around New York City to choose a female principal years ago. I was very proud that was me. Loyola School has for many years had a female chair of the Board of Trustees. And now Loyola School is the first to create a program that specifically seeks to support the access of girls to Jesuit education. So, you know, when I think about it, Loyola School is a school that's been inclusive long before anyone was talking about it. It's a community that has a history of supporting women within their outstanding traditions as a co-ed Jesuit secondary school. So I think we can ask ourselves, what comes next? How do schools learn from what you're doing there? You know, and how does it grow? That's the challenge.
I think that every institution that is in our network has the possibility to amplify access to young women. You know, there's been so many great talks. You know, another dream that I've heard a lot is, you know, what about a Jesuit school for women? That is all women, right? A female version of REACH, right? And I want those talks to keep happening. And I want something like INES to inspire other schools. You don't have to be co-ed school to start such a program. This is my belief. You could have any school in a province saying, well, we're going to start a program like this and give them access and then place them in the sister schools that they're working with, right? So I'm not sending a challenge, but I'm strongly suggesting, you know, schools in our province, across the country, that there is always a way, there is always an opportunity to amplify educational access to young women and young women from underserved communities. And I say underserved communities, but in our context, in the way Jesuit schools are in the United States, every woman is considered underserved because there's so few access in the first place, right? They are underserved. Whether your skin color or even, you know, social economical background, right? Of course, our program is female of colors, and social economical background that is, that is underserved. But I've come to the conclusion that in our unique context in Jesuit education, every woman is, young women are underserved because there's not enough school that are co-ed. So now the question is, should schools become co-ed? Well, that would be great, you know, but structural tradition, there's a challenge there, right? But even if you're not there yet, or even if you never get to that point, I believe there are ways, something similar to ENES, there's nested, you know, nested school, nested, you know, I was so inspired at the gathering to see the different ways that education was amplified across the country. But, you know, we need to be intentional about young women. We need female leadership. It's extremely important. It's more important now than ever. It's even more important now. Even in the last few years, we can see that, you know, female leadership is extremely important in the history of our country. So we just need to be able to form more female leaders for the future, you know, and I think it's an inflection point in Jesuit education right now. And we just need to be more aware and make more efforts to make sure that we have programs. And if the bigger schools who have more resources can do the same thing, then, you know, and then we can amplify it, then I would be very proud that this little program on the Upper East Side was there too.
Yeah, dare to show the broader network how it can be done. I mean, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about, instead of just telling people, you know, the old college essay rule, show and don't tell, you know, instead of just telling, talking about it, we do love talking about conversations around gender and, you know, and in so many facets. You're really showing us one very motivating example of what can happen when one school community decides to put pen to paper and to go for it. So I think that challenge there of amplifying access is very real. And what Father Reiser said to you about motivating the conference, the JSN colleague gathering on the right to education, I mean, it's real in so many ways. There's so much to be proud of. Now, Jacques, I have to ask you just before we go. So I'm listening to you. I'm thinking of your weekly schedule. I'm all of it. I know you're a dad. I know you're there in the Dean of Students office. You're running the Inez program. Like, how are you doing it all? And then why is the Inez, the director of the Inez program, why and how is that important to you and your world there?
I would say I wouldn't be a great leader at this point, or a leader at all, if I was not motivated to have this program work. You know, I think it made me a better person. I think it made me a better leader. It made me a better father, right? As you know me, I've always been someone who, you know, really threw himself into the mission, into making sure that the values of the schools are upheld. One interesting thing is, as I see those young women growing and becoming leaders, you know, it made me realize that I have two girls also at home that needs to do the same. So I've taken steps to make sure that I'm more home. I mean, can you imagine? My oldest is already a sophomore in high school. So that means in 3 years they're in college, right? The other one is starting high school next year. So of course, it seems God has put me in a situation that I was always aware of the importance of being around women and witnessing, and also taking a lot from female leadership. I'm just glad that I'm able to do this. And although I've taken a few steps to make sure that I'm a bit more at home, but, you know, I'm just... They understand also the importance of the program. And sometimes, you know, I would like them to be a bit more involved, but that's fine. They're doing their own thing, which is okay.
No, I mean, imagine for your girls, for your family, you know, seeing and hearing, listening to this podcast episode of the work that you do, and how you've said yes to what is really very clearly a calling for you. I mean, that you don't get any better teaching or any better learning.
Although they made fun of me, they said, we're not going to listen to your podcast. I mean, will, but no, they're making fun of me. It's like, are you a podcast? No, you're a star now. I mean, they have, you know, like the term trolling, they have made fun of me in ways that you can't imagine. Every time, say, oh, when's your podcast, Mr. Superstar? I'm like, it's a podcast for Jesuit education, but...
Right. Girl, you're a girl dad through and through, you can tell. No, I really value hearing your personal connection to your work, because I think it's one thing in our careers that we're really blessed with. You know, Jesuit educators, there is in one way or another a deep and meaningful personal connection to the work that we're blessed to do with kids. And this is a great example of that. You know, you began the episode talking about how Loyola is such a special place that you really know every student and every story. And, you know, you know kids and families well. Well, the opposite is true as well. You know, the kids know faculty very well. It's a wonderful thing to see. And this is just a great example of it. So thank you, Jacques, for sharing the story of the Inez program. I know we look forward to hearing what the next step will be, you know, what schools perhaps around the network will be challenged and inspired to make this be the first start of programs of its kind around the network. So,
and I challenge every school to do something similar. They can contact me. I'll be more than happy to help in any ways if they want to do any sort of endeavors that amplify Jesuit education to young women. I will be the first to help in any way, shape or form, because that's something that is important. I truly believe in it, and we need to do this now.
Let's do it. Thank you, Jacques.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ignatian Inquiry Podcast. You can find additional resources from the episode and Jacques Joseph's bio on JSN's website at jesuitschoolsnetwork.org/inquiry/podcast. The Ignatian Inquiry Podcast is hosted by Dr. Kristen Ross Kelly. This episode was recorded, edited, and produced by Kristen Smith. To learn more about the Jesuit Schools Network, please visit jesuitschoolsnetwork.org. Stay curious and set the world on fire.